Amen. I sure do like that rain song, don't you? That's a kingdom song. You could even put R-E-I-G in, and that would work well. Rain down. You love the Holy Spirit? You know, if you're Southern Baptist, you might have been taught to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you a little secret? Well, it's not really a secret. It was in the song you just sung. The Holy Spirit is your comforter and friend. Well, a quarter of you believe that. Hopefully after the sermon's over, the rest of you will be on board. 9 years ago, I started preaching in a suit and tie. 9 years later, I'm in a t-shirt. What about that? All these special Sundays where I get to do this is all right. I'm going to ask you to stand in honor of the Word of God as I read the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Every Christian ought to own this text of Scripture. This is the identity of the authentic child of God. This is the life you can live. Jesus died so you could live. The life He lives within you so you can live. And as you trace His life through the Gospels of the New Testament, you will see this life embodied in Him, and now He lives in you to make it a reality in you. And unless you don't want this, and I couldn't possibly imagine you not, I want you to get a hold of this life. And so I've spent like 3 or 4 messages just on this text of Scripture. And I can't review everything that I've said up to this point. I will make enough references to make it clear today. But other than that, you can download from the internet these sermons free of charge and listen to them. And I encourage you to do that. In verse 22, the Bible says, but the fruit, notice it's singular, think of facets of a diamond or a cluster of fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit, and this is how far we have gotten, love, joy, peace. And now, here's where we pick up today. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Father, in the name of Jesus, rain down on me and rain down on this congregation that God Almighty might be manifest in our presence. You're here in palpable glory. And Father, as I read the diary and life of David Brainerd, I appreciate that the concern that any speaker of God's Word ought to have, the inadequacies, the insufficiencies we feel behind this pulpit. And yet we get here because we believe that You've called us to do this, and we trust that You will be with us while we do it. And thus is the case today. So fill me with Your Holy Spirit that I might teach about Your Holy Spirit in the power of Your Holy Spirit. Grant Your people the faculties to listen, to assimilate it into their hearts and lives as we have this moment here now. And as is always the case, we do pray that You forgive the sins of the one who teaches, for they are many. We would see Jesus and Him only. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And all of God's people said, amen. If you are born again or from above or you are a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives inside your skin. Subjectively speaking, He is asserting His desires within you, grounded in the Word of God. And while He's doing that, there is this other aspect of your spiritual constituency known as the sinful nature or the lower nature or the flesh that is also asserting its desires against those of the Spirit. And sometimes you have been so acclimated to that life outside of Jesus Christ that those desires can actually, for a time, be stronger than the desires of the Spirit that He is asserting in you. Now, the difference between you now as a born-again believer in Jesus Christ and before you knew Him is that before Christ, you were at the mercy of your sinful nature. Now that the Spirit of God lives within you, the sinful nature is at the mercy of you, whether you recognize it or not. That is to say, you do not have to succumb to its tyranny. You have the power of God within you now, the desires that if you go with them, He Himself, the Holy Spirit, will overcome those bad desires that you so desperately want to get rid of. Now, when you are going with the desires of the Holy Spirit, the life that Jesus died for you to have, the life that He now lives in you through your cooperative efforts so that you might can live it, it's a life you can live. I want you to know that the outworking of such a life has a very distinct outcome. And the first sentence in your notes is that the life of going with the desires of the Holy Spirit has an outcome that I think you're going to like. And I'm going to go ahead and put it on the record here right now that if you have a life you want to compare to it, bring it on. Because every human being I know of, every single one of them knows this. This is the life thereafter. Your problem is that you're going after it in ways that you're never going to get it. And it could be, there's going to be enough listeners to me here today that you're going to get dialed in to what the Spirit has made available to you. And you are going to be a wonder to everyone around you. Now, I've already gone through three of these. I don't know if they're categorized. Some scholars do. They say that the first three, there's nine of them. Love, joy, and peace kind of is your relationship between you and the Lord. And then the next three are interpersonal relationships and our challenges there. And then the last three are kind of between you and the Lord. As I say them, they kind of all overlap and they manifest a life that all of us can have and all of us want, whether we recognize it or not. I've already gone through three. And we discovered, and they're in your notes too, you'll have to go back to the sermons to listen to them. I'm just going to briefly mention them so you can write them in, and I hope you will investigate them further, is that now with the Spirit of God in you, and when we're talking about the outcome of that life, you now possess the ability to will the good toward others. Regardless of the situation, regardless of how they treat you, you have the power to rise above it and will their good. Most of you mistake love for an attendant feeling. It has feelings and it can be good, but it is a condition. And love is a verb, an action word, and it is to will another's good. And you are so full of power, you can do that even to those who mistreat you. And the next one is peace. Do you remember that one? Or joy, love, joy, yeah, joy. Joy is the ability you now have because the Spirit of God lives within you to have a pervasive sense of well-being throughout your entire self. Regardless of what you're going through or what you have to challenge, what you've been through, you can know a supernatural, pervasive sense of well-being. And then the third one we talked about was peace. And peace is the ability to have that sense that everything's going to be okay when it seems that nothing is okay. In the words of Lewis Smedes, he says, "How can everything be all right when everything is all wrong?" And the truth of the matter is, you can have that peace, that deep, settled condition that has certain attendant feelings that regardless of what you're going through, how frightening it might be, you just have that garrison of heart and mind that says, it's going to be okay. Now we move into the realm of interpersonal relationships, your greatest challenge. And what I'm about to say to you now is relevant to every soul I'm speaking to. Is ability that you have that you need to get a hold of, And by the way, we know when you're living according to the Spirit and when you're living according to the flesh. Not only are you destructive on yourself when you're living according to the flesh, you're destructive on everybody else. And we're ready for you to get in tune as quickly as possible so we can have some peace. So we want you to listen up, and it's going to be a lot better on you. Now you, if the Holy Spirit lives within your heart, this is the ability you have with difficult people. You have the ability to put up with difficult people regardless of the situation. You notice that your text says love, joy, peace, and what? Patience. And this patience means that you have the ability to put up with difficult people regardless of the situation. Now, the Lord taught me this lesson. I'm not always crazy about the way God teaches me His lessons. How about you? I like to learn them, and I like the other side of them, but I don't like the teaching method often. And one day, it was raining cats and dogs. Western part of the state, that means it was really raining. And I was in that little Toyota Celica, too low for a guy my age. I can't get in and out of that thing. It's a dangerous vehicle. And I had to go across three rows of traffic to get to get my hair cut, which is a massive job, as you might could well imagine. So I have my car, and the first two rows are motioning me to go across. I give the thumbs up. When I go across one lane, two lanes, when I get to the third lane, guess what happened? Someone going over the speed limit, at least that's what it felt like when she nailed me, nailed the vehicle, and there I was in a wreck. Now, that's a sinking feeling, isn't it? And I don't know how your mind operates, but mine immediately goes in, how can I get out of this mess mode? So I'm thinking about, where do I go to make a phone call? I need to call the police. This is a very busy intersection. How many members of Temple Baptist Church are going to get to see this? 101 things were going through my mind. Well, when I got out of the car, I was so zoned on this. This lady was screaming at me at the top of her voice and cussing me out. For the life of me, to this day, I don't remember a single thing that woman said. As a matter of fact, when I finally got my senses to go into where Juanita, who cuts my hair, was out there, saw the whole thing, and I went in to call the police, she said, "Did you hear what that lady was saying to you?" I said, "No, I didn't hear a thing." She said, "Good thing." And so I called the police, and she's still on me when I get out. This is not Restroom. The police gets there, and she is very adamant that she's going to prove her point, so she starts another sermon, less the cuss words, and says, "What happened?" And he did this, and he did that, and then the policeman's writing it down. You could tell he was really enjoying it. And he looks to me, and he says, "Sir, what's your story?" And I said, "Everything she said is true." So that kind of disarmed it. It was raining. I got in my car. And after each of us got in his car to fill out the report, I got in my car, waited on everything to settle, and all of a sudden I got a knock on my glass. And I rolled down the glass, and it was this lady, calm, stopped cussing, and asked me, "Are you okay?" And I said, no, I didn't say a thing. I said, "Yes." I said, "Yes." Now, why'd I share that with you? That was a very difficult person right up in my face. But if you'll notice, I was zoned out to her, to something else. And it didn't matter how much she yelled at me or cussed at me, she couldn't get to me. And this is what I have learned. If you will develop a sensitivity and awareness of the presence of God within you, when you are encountering difficult people, you can so train yourself that you will immediately go inward to the Lord, and you will discover the same power that will not allow those kind of people attacking you in that way to get to you. If you will learn, in the words of Brother Lawrence, to practice the presence of the Lord, those little missile emergency prayers, God help. Father, you see what's happening, give me the words. And see, notice what happened. Even though it was unintentional that day, she bumped up against the reality of the kingdom and it just melted her. Because remember what Proverbs says, a gentle answer turns away wrath. And after she acted the way she did and she couldn't get to me, it had nothing left to do but disarm her. And you can actually go in to the Lord and have that power not to react when people are mistreating you in that way. Now, you're not going to live in a realm where you're not going to have some knuckleheads out there. You hear me? There's going to be some people who mistreat you, who say things you can't believe, do things you can't believe. And that is never, ever an excuse on your part. You can never go out and say that such and so caused me to do a thing, because you've got the power of God that individual does not have that kind of control over you. You can turn to Jesus and ride right through it. Now, it is by God's grace, it is by the Spirit of God that lives within you, but if we think beyond just an infusion of grace that empowers you with the power to do that, what's something that you can practice to get better in dealing with nubheads? Are you ready? I've got, this is the one God told me to do, and you can try it. If you got a better one, use it. God has supplied a gift to you to practice dealing with difficult people. And you want to know when it is? When you're out in your vehicle driving. I'm talking about when you're in a hurry getting somewhere, it's already a long line at the red light, you see the light turn green, and what happens to car number one? They just sit there. Isn't that a blessing? And then finally they go, and then the car in front of you could have made it. There was enough yellow light for that one to get through, and you too. But they decide to stop, which now you can't turn right, and you're stuck right there. When you get in a situation like that, instead of getting angry and cussing and hope no one saw you and practicing your sign language, you can just look down and you can say, thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity not to allow that individual to get my goat. See, I'm okay if I know you're coming and I'm prepared for it. But if you catch me blindside, I might react before I know what's happening. In my practicing in traffic, what I'm talking to you about today, now when I get blindsided, instead of first reacting and going back at them, I'm turning inward and saying, Lord, help, and I'm finding the help is there. Now, the next one is closely akin to this. But see, there's more than just enduring difficult people. And that's where the next one comes in. Because an outcome of this life I'm talking about, and by virtue of the Spirit of God living within you, means that you can be kind to others regardless of the situation. Do you see the nuanced difference? You have this situation to where you can show fortitude and stamina in enduring a difficult person, and that's one thing, and it's important. Doesn't feel that good, but it can get to the point to where you don't overreact and do something you regret or to unsettle you. But there's also the thing of continuing to be kind to this individual who's been difficult. And that's tough. It's tough to actively be kind to someone who's being mean and difficult to you. I think where I see this show up the most is inside your homes. Can we talk? The way some of you wives talk to your husbands and embarrass him in public with your hot temper, I got to tell you something. I'm glad I ain't married to you. There's no call for that. You know, my wife nails me too, but not in front of everybody. Take me to the side. Don't embarrass me. Which she does rather well, I might add. And I watch that husband, and I have compassion for that husband. I see that wife mistreating that husband. And you know how he responds to her? In kindness. Tries to diffuse the situation. And I'll tell you right now, that takes all the power of God to be kind and gracious when someone is yakking a mile a minute at you in anger. Oh, it works conversely too. There's nothing that gets my goat more than to see a man exploit his wife. She dotes on you, she loves you, and you know you can get away with it. And because you know it, you do it. And you just plain old mean, sir. Nothing commendable about it. She's a delicate, lovely flower. And she'll take your abuse. And she'll be kind and gentle and head straight on. She's a Christian. I'll tell you how she does it. She does it because the Spirit of God so empowers her, not even you can get to her. Then some of you kids, the way you talk to your parents, honest to goodness, I've told my wife they'd have me in jail if they talked to me that way. These parents have sacrificed, birthed you in this world, brought you up, have given you all they've given you, and you're going to talk to them like they're a dog? And I'll watch these parents because they love you and want what's best for you. And I'll be kind, try to settle you down. Come on, honey, you can do better than that and all the rest. Fruit of the Holy Spirit. And then some of you parents, don't you know what your children want? They want to hear that a boy or that a girl. And you know what Haddon Robinson said, and it's true, there should be 10 that a boys for every one you jerk. What do we hear? Inadequacy. Don't measure up. Why aren't you more like your brother? And on and on and on it goes. All they want is your approval and your acceptance. All they want is to say, hey, mommy, daddy, ain't I something? Come on, acknowledge me. So they keep blowing that balloon up with the helium, trying to get it to you so you'll be proud of them. And it always seeps out before they get it to you. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen one day. They're going to become an adult, and they're not going to give a rip whether or not you're happy with them or not. But I'll see that child, good kids, continuing to be kind to those parents because they can't help but love you. They can't help but respect you. They think you're something else, and sooner or later, they're holding out that one day, one way, somehow, they're going to say, hey, I'm proud of you. Where's that kindness come from? Fruit of the Holy Spirit. You have the ability to be kind to those who are not kind to you. Thirdly, you'll notice you have the ability to be gracious to others regardless of the situation. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and what? Goodness. Now, this is close to love. This gets deeply in this context with interpersonal relationship struggles with what Jesus talked about love. It is to will the good of another. Specifically, to will the good towards someone who's at enmity with you. They don't like you. They've harmed you in some way or hurt you. And now, maybe you don't have an opportunity, but now in this particular case, you have an opportunity to do them good. The test of character will be, what will you do? Will you do them good? Or will you say, now it's my turn? So let me tell you what God's done through the years. And sometimes it takes years in the coming. Whenever I feel that, first of all, when I receive criticism, I evaluate it. And I see if there's any truth in it. And if there is, I need to be humble enough to admit it. But if I think it's caustic, and they're just busting my chops, then there's two verses I claim and I live in them. One is Isaiah 54:17. No weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. This is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. The other one is Psalm 37. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, and the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still and wait patiently for the Lord, because you always got to wait. But several times in my career and before, someone who was really off base and mistreated me, later, sometimes it was years, God positioned things to where I had power over them in the sense that I could do them good or not. It was in my power to do them good, or payback's a bear. Now, I hope you assumed I did the good. Not really. I got them all back. No, just kidding. I did the good. And that'll happen. See, this goes back to Jesus' teaching. Do good unto him who abuses you. Now, Dallas Willard asks a very penetrating question. I think this is probably the greatest test case, because so many times ego's involved, it's hard to do this in love. But Dallas Willard asks, can you fire anybody in love? And he says, usually there's so much ego in it, the answer's no. But then he answers that question by saying yes. And I would submit to you today, amen and amen. Now, he was in a situation at University of Southern Cal where this individual who had this post affected several lives. And it was his call as to whether or not he was going or not. Dallas Willard fired him, willed his good as an act of love, because it was the best decision in light of the larger picture. Very difficult for him because it was a friend, but in light of the larger picture. This guy was livid and went for years not talking to Dallas Willard. And Dallas said it was very tough, but he had to stick with his guns. Years later, this guy, now on to another position that more suited him, came back and apologized to Dallas and said, you know, you really were a friend and you did the best thing to me. So sometimes when you will the good to someone, it's uncomfortable in its outworking, but you have to stick with your guns, trust the Lord. This is what I try to do as a general practice. Do what is right and trust God. Are you with me? All right, very quickly, let's move through the rest of the ones. If you're looking for the outcome of a spirit-filled life, of the life that you can live, then I also would have you know that you will have the ability to be reliable regardless of the situation. Now notice what he says. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and what? Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Now let me tell you how Satan works you in this particular area. He wants to get you to the point that you get tired of resisting temptation. He wants to get you to the point that you get tired of keeping on keeping on. One of his master strategies is to get you to think you have done so well for so long, you need to lighten up a little bit and enjoy yourself a while. The problem is when you do that, it's a slippery slope. It's one step in the wrong direction, and before you know it, you're in a mess. Now, you got to remember something about Satan. I'm going to give you a little truth here this morning that only as you try it will you see the reality of it. Satan cannot seize your will and force you to do anything. He has to get you to consent to his activity to mess with you. That's why he works by deception. He tries to deceive you and make you afraid so that you will react, consent to his activity, and then he can get in there and mess with you. That's why the Bible says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Stand against him in your confidence with the Lord. What he's saying there is that you can actually stand against Satan in the power of God and the Holy Spirit that's within. And when you do that and you stand and you look within, you will be fortified and strengthened, and you will be the reliable, faithful person that we need. I'm going to tell you something about Christianity. I'm a loner to a fault. I mean, I dream of a cabin up in a mountain somewhere with a big old fire going and a library surrounding me to live out my days in happiness. I'm telling you, I've got to really move against my unbelievable desire for loneliness and get into relationship. And it took me a few years to learn this, but I want you to know something, folks. I finally figured it out. I can't do this without you, and you can't do it without me. We need each other. And if we're going to have each other, then it has to be in a way that we can count on one another and be reliable to one another. Now, hopefully, we can count on our spouses and some intimate friends, but we got to work on being faithful to the Lord so that we know we have each other to count on and to rely on in this world where nothing seems to be very consistent. The next one to me is interesting. The Spirit-filled life, where the outcome is the ability to submit to the will of God regardless of the situation. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness. I really have a lot of pressure to go to Florida to speak to some leaders. And can I tell you something? I don't want to go, and I'm not praying too hard about it because I'm afraid God will make me go. But if I go, this is what I'm going to tell them. I'll tell those leaders the same thing I'm telling all of you. For those of you who are living in the kingdom of God now as an apprentice of Jesus Christ, I believe there's more, but I believe you can have at least three guarantees. And you can write these out in your margin if they mean anything to you or not. The first one is, I believe you will have profundity of insight. Profundity of insight to look deep into the nature of reality. Kingdom revelation. It comes by revelation. When I'm preaching and I have touched something in your lives the way you say it, when did Steve Cobb move in with us? Is he a spider on our wall? Hey, I know you're preaching to me today. Everybody tells me that. What's going on there? It is some kind of ability at certain points of a sermon where I have dipped into reality and it resonates very closely to your heart because the Spirit of God is working with what I'm saying, with what's going on in your life, so that you will make the connection and hear from God. To hear from God is far more important than to hear from me. Amen. Thank you. Although hearing from me is rather important. Secondly, not only profundity of insight, I don't know any other way to say this, and this really does into this word gentleness. Sweetness or strength of character. The people that I have known who have known the Lord the most have this sweetness, and it's not, that's why I say, or strength of character that is just incredible. You're just drawn to them, almost like there's an aura around them. That there's something about these individuals, and you see them, it's not because they're on a gravy train. They go through all this stuff, and yet there's this consistent, sweet, strong character. Something is solidified in their lives, and it's enviable. And I believe that as you live in the kingdom of God, that's yours. And then thirdly, and you just have to come to terms with this, there's an abundance of power. An abundance of power. The things of your life cannot be explained in terms of human explanation. There's got to be something beyond. There's a power about this individual that is not normal. There's something that's beyond them that only Christians can understand what it is, and it is the sovereign power of the Holy Spirit working in and through you. Now, when I say this character that remains sweet and strong regardless of what you go through, and I say it submits to God in all things, I don't mean a fatalism that resigns everything that happens to the will of God so that you just throw in the towel, because there can be those cases where something is precisely not the will of God and it's God's will for you to rise up, confront it, and challenge it. But whatever it is, That character, that sweetness, that gentleness, that confidence, that power that comes with walking with God remains steady. There's one more. And that is the ability to go with the desires of the Spirit instead of the desires of the sinful nature. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self, and what? Self-control? There's proof positive. How do you overcome the desires within you that are destroying you? As you go with the desires of the Spirit, He overcomes those desires for you. It's not that you don't do anything. It is by grace. It is by His power. There is cooperative efforts that He requires, namely to trust and obey. But if you will go with those desires, no matter how faint they are at any given time, I will guarantee you on the authority of God's Word and my own personal experience, you will overcome those desires that are tripping you up. Might take some time. You might have some mistakes. You might have some setbacks. But you just keep at it and you'll be amazed at what happens. I love Oswald Chambers' term to this: reckless abandon to Jesus Christ. You know, I'm reading the Life and Diary of David Brainerd, which is edited by Jonathan Edwards, and one of the big things to those guys living in that era was the ability to kiss the rod of affliction. You ever heard that? To kiss the rod of affliction. I'm in affliction right now. This is a very difficult time. And in order to glorify God, they had to kiss it in the sense that even this could not come to me unless God allowed it. And even this will eventuate into my good. See, I think you need to understand that the Spirit can control yourself, because I see a lot of Christians who are out of self-control. And you need not be. You're without excuse. The Spirit resides in you to conquer the self that tries to devastate you. Do you notice that last phrase? Against such things there is no law. What in the world does that mean? Well, let me ask you something. If the purpose of the law is to restrain or curb, what is there about the fruit of the Spirit that needs to be restrained? And if Romans 8 says that we live, that the righteous requirement of the law is kept by those who live not according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit, what in the world is he saying there? The same thing he's saying here. Folks, what righteous requirement of the law would God be after? For that matter, what could God be after if not a life that manifests these realities? That's what he's talking about. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. This fulfills all the law and the prophets. What is he saying? Everything that I want for you, everything I intended for you is right here. Live it. This life is for you. Now, I got something to ask you. If Jesus died so that you could have this life, if He lives within you so that you can live this life, if this is a life you can have, I think you need to hear what this life is like. It is a life that grants you the ability to will the good of another, regardless of how they treat you. To have a pervasive sense of well-being, regardless of what you're going through. The confidence that everything's going to turn out okay when everything doesn't seem like it's going to turn out okay. It is to put up with difficult people regardless of the situation. To be kind to them regardless of the situation. To be gracious to them regardless of the situation. It is the ability to be reliable regardless of the situation, to submit to the will of God regardless of the situation. Finally, to go with the desires of the Spirit regardless of the situation. What other life could you possibly want? This is yours. This is yours. You can live this life. Now here's the invitation. And buddy, as many took me up on it in the first service. Y'all believe the power of God's here? You believe that God is so palpably here that there could be change wrought in this moment that you will never, ever be the same again. If you believe that, say amen. All right. This life of the Spirit, Jesus died so you can have it. This life, He lives within you to make it a reality. The invitation I have for you is to get up out of your seat, come to this altar and kneel down and say, Jesus, I claim the life You died to give me, and You live in me to make a reality. I throw the gauntlet today. I make my claim, and I'm going to get up, and whatever You show me from this point forward, lead me in to the life You have for me. Father in heaven, have Your way during this invitation. Holy Spirit, we commit it to You. And all of God's people said,